Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Welcome to Soldiers for Christ. And we are here on Wednesday night, continue our Bible study as we're waiting on the presence of the Lord to crack the sky and take his people out of here. That's what the rapture is, Gary. And you ever seen the movie Left Behind?
No.
Okay, I'm going to get you. You got a DVD player?
No.
No? You got YouTube?
Netflix.
Ooh, they have it on Netflix.
They do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so look it up and watch Left Behind.
Okay.
So you know it's about to happen. You'll be one of those people that the guy said he had a dream that half the people that the Lord took them up didn't even know what happened. So
yeah.
That's how secret Satan keeps the rapture. But we're exposing it, and we're in rapture season, and it is the wheat harvest season, and until this wheat harvest season is over, we will be waiting on the Lord to crack the sky and for everything to be done, and then the world can begin on the new change. And when we get back, there'll be no more homelessness, there'll be no more problems, you know, and Jesus will be king over the whole earth. So praise God for that. I wanted to stand over here because we're looking at the wheat harvest. The 2,520 days is the time of the tribulation. That's how long the tribulation is. We'll talk a little bit today about the 1,290 days and then the 1,335 days that's in the book of Daniel. But you can't speculate on those days because that's an additional 30 days after Jesus returns and an additional 45 days after Jesus returns. And when Daniel said, I don't understand, can you explain it? He said, go away. it's closed up until the end. So for everybody who's trying to figure out that extra 30 days and that extra 45 days, what we'll be doing, it has not been disclosed. It's kind of like saying, you know, what did the when he said it was silent for 30 minutes,
yeah.
What went on in that silent 30 minutes? You don't know. God, you know, if he revealed it, he revealed it. Okay, that's Nosia, that's congregation is traveling. Pentecost is summer. Ketz, the fruit harvest. So here's the 4 months of the harvest of the barley and wheat harvest, and it goes from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tumaz, and so we're looking at started June 20th, and about the whole month of July will still be wheat harvest, and I'm looking forward to getting out of here in July. So praise God, and we will see what happens. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's get back over here, start our Bible study. Okay. Bereshit. We are going to first of all, talk about this incredible word that's in the Bible, in the beginning of the Bible, called Bereshit. Bereshit means in the beginning, as pronounced, but the prefix before the word is the what we call the bet, or the B in our thing, and it's a prefix saying, but it means in. So the word Reshit means first fruit, okay? And so if you understand what first fruit is, I think the only person that can really understand what first fruit is are farmers, you know? Because I didn't know what first fruit was growing up. Matter of fact, I never heard a pastor even really teach about it. But a first fruit is the first of a harvest. It's the first of the harvest that comes up. And once that harvest comes up, that they would take that first fruit of their harvest, or the best of their harvest, and they would take that to the Lord, and they would present it to him as, this is the first fruit of my harvest. God would look at what they're giving and that would be a wave offering. So they would do a wave offering, and it was God's kind of approval that I'm approving of, that you have brought me, say, substantial offering, okay? Something that qualifies. So a first fruit of an offering has to be presented to God first. Now, once he qualified it as being worthy, then now the people would go off and they would harvest the rest of the field, okay? And so now the rest of the field gets harvested, and then God made it simple for us to let us know that there are going to be three harvests during the season, okay? During the season, there are going to be three harvests. There's going to be a barley harvest, there's going to be a wheat harvest, and there's going to be a fruit harvest, okay? Now, for God to use the word Bereshit in the beginning of the Bible means that God already knew he was going to harvest the world. You understand? He had to know that he was going to harvest the world, because the first thing God started talking about was seeds. And then he said, there is a seed coming. And the seed, he said, is not seeds. He says a seed that's going to come, that's going to be buried in the ground, and is going to produce a harvest of believers, okay? Because that seed was Christ, and that seed was planted in the ground. And when that seed came up from the ground, he came up from the ground as a first fruit offering, a brand new man. See, the body that Jesus was buried in is not the body that he came up in, okay? So God wants many sons just like Jesus, okay? Many sons that are going to be, that will never die, but have resurrected bodies and will be a harvest of human beings out of the earth for the kingdom of God. The first harvest we already left. I'm not going to go over Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. But the first harvest already left. That was all of the Old Testament saints. Beautiful day it was. For each and every one of them who was waiting in Abraham's bosom in Sheol, or in the middle of the earth, waiting for the door to heaven to be open. And then the door came down and said, the door is open to heaven. Follow me. We're coming out of here. And so all of those Old Testament saints were raptured, that were resurrected and taken up to heaven, okay? A rapture is another thing, because a rapture is you're still in your present body and it's immediately cut off and you're taken up. So this is God's plan. It's the harvest of the world. You're not going to be able to stop the plan, because this is what God has planned from the beginning. And he lets you know he was planning it from the beginning by saying Bereshit, in the first fruit, okay? God knew he was going to have a harvest. Okay, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Hallelujah. Yeah. No, I got it. Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to be in verse 11, okay? Now, this is Jesus speaking, and he says this. This is actually John the Baptist who's speaking, and he says this. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat unto the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So, who's the wheat that he's carrying, that Jesus is going to carry into his barn? the believers. He's going to carry his wheat harvest into his barn, and those and the chaff and the tares, he says he's going to burn with unquenchable fire. And unquenchable is the word that should hit you. That means it's a continuous fire. So we have to understand and know that Jesus' harvest is the wheat harvest. Yeah. Listen to me. It doesn't say anywhere here that Jesus' harvest is a barley harvest. It doesn't say he will gather his barley into his barn, okay? Because he knows that the barley harvest is going to be resurrected after he's resurrected. That's the barley harvest. But he's coming back for a harvest of believers, people who have placed their trust and are faithful to God and have made their confession, and they're living their lives in a relationship with Jesus Christ. These are the people that he's going to harvest out of the world, and he's coming back for this purpose, is to get his wheat harvest out of the world. Yeah. Okay? So, it says he will clear out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the shaft he will burn. But I wanted to read this scripture because it says his wheat harvest. See? So we know now, if Jesus is talking about a wheat harvest, then it shouldn't surprise us that he says, know that summer is near, because he knows that summer is a wheat harvest, and he knows that that's the time that it's going to happen. So it shouldn't surprise any of us that he's talking about the summer and a wheat harvest. It shouldn't surprise anyone that two are grinding at the mill, because that would be in a wheat harvest. Everything that he says is going to show us and tell us that he's coming back for a wheat harvest, and we need to be ready, okay? Amen. All right, so in our notes today, I gave you guys a copy of the harvest seasons for the nation of Israel. And in these notes, it shows you every year. This is an every year cycle, okay? Every year they cycle a harvest out of the ground in the nation of Israel. The plowing begins in the fall, which is around Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah becomes the wheat harvest, and then the full gathering of all of the harvest is the Feast of Tabernacles, called the Feast of Ingathering, okay? So then we see in October they start plowing again. Planting continues in Kislev, and then the rains come, the first rains, I forget the Hebrew word for it, but these are the main rains, and then the spring rains come, and then you get the autumn, you get the almond blossoms. Then after you get the almond blossoms, that's in about February, March, then Nisan comes and you get the barley harvest, and then after the barley harvest is complete, about a month later, you get the wheat harvest, and then the wheat harvest is complete about a month later, and then you get the fruit harvest in the fall. So this is the way God has situated the world to be harvested, and it has not changed. And he shows you it has not changed because the barley harvest left exactly when they were supposed to leave, okay? And if you turn the page in your notes, we're going to look at some scriptures concerning the wheat harvest that will show you. Now, the word wheat and harvest are only in the scriptures 8 times, okay? I mean, appearing together as wheat and only the exact phrase wheat harvest 6 times, which is 6 is the number of salvation. So, but the word wheat with the word harvest in the same sentence appears 8 times, which is the new beginning, of course, of Christ. So I would expect these two numbers to be exactly that. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to talk about what's going on here. Genesis chapter 3, I'm sorry, chapter 30, verse 14. Okay. Chapter 30, verse 14. Let's continue here. Now, it says, verse 14, it says, during the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the field and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother-in-law. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take away my son mandrakes also? Now, mandrakes was like an aphrodisiac, or because Rachel was trying to get pregnant, right? But Leah was having all of the children. And so she said, well, he's found this mandrakes. If I can have some of that, maybe I can have my own children as she's having her own children. The whole process of Leah having children is the fact that Leah is representing the church. And she is the older daughter, which means she is the daughter of faith, okay? So she's the older daughter, and I'm saying that because once we get to Samson tonight, we're gonna see that whole scenario play out once again. So Leah is the older daughter. She's representing the church. She's the first one that gets married, okay? And so telling you that the church is going to be the first ones to get married. Then after the church got married, then later Rachel got married, but he worked 7 more years for Rachel. And then that puts us right back into the scenario that there is a 7-year tribulation. Because we don't want to get caught up in people trying to make you believe in a 3.5-year rescued from the wrath type of thing. Someone tried to send me that, and I immediately just blocked them and said, because I'm not going to deal with people trying to teach me false stuff or get me to argue with them over false stuff, which I know is just foolishness. There's no you going through the first half of the tribulation, and then all of a sudden in the middle of the tribulation, God rescues you. That's not in scripture. The scripture says that you're able to escape all that is about to happen, yes. And that's from the beginning to the end. And so this 7 years that's in Genesis chapter 30, verse 14, is just one of, but this happens during the wheat harvest, okay? Now it says during the wheat harvest, and let me see how it reads in the other scripture. It says, Reuben went out in the days. That's a much better translation. Reuben went out in the days of the wheat harvest. You hear what it says? So it says in the Hebrew, the yomim, which means that the wheat harvest is not one day. You understand? So everybody was like, oh, it's June 20th. It's Pentecost, June 20th. June 20th is Pentecost, present the first fruit. Our first fruit is Jesus Christ. That's taken care of. Now the wheat harvest season begins. So Reuben was out during the time of the wheat harvest, during the days of the wheat harvest. It doesn't say the day. It says the days of the wheat harvest. So there are more than one day in a wheat harvest, and that's what we're waiting on. The beauty of this is that we're in the wheat harvest and it's 2021. Okay, so now let's go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 22. Exodus 34, verse 22. And this is what God says. He says, celebrate the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks is Shavuot. That's Pentecost. With the first fruit of the wheat harvest. So we celebrate Pentecost with what? The first fruit of the wheat harvest. We don't celebrate Pentecost with the full wheat harvest. We celebrate Pentecost with the first fruit of the wheat harvest, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Is the church is not a first fruit. You can only, the first fruit has to be the first one to come out of the ground. Okay, so the first fruit is always Jesus Christ. There's no one else mentioned that is saying they are the first fruit. Only ones that are even close to being mentioned is 144,000. And it says they serve as kind of a like a first fruit. But they're not the first fruit. Jesus took care of that. And without him, there's no resurrected people. Okay? Amen. So, let's move on to the next one. Judges chapter 1. Let's go to Judges chapter 1. Ooh, I'm sorry. Judges chapter 15, verse 1. This thing, so it printed out so weird for me. Because I took it right out Blue Letter Bible. Okay, here we are. Judges. This is the story of Samson. Now, there's so many great things about Samson that you have to think about Samson's life. First of all, he's the strong man, okay? He's the strong man. And the strong man is like the sun, okay? Psalms chapter 19 tells us that the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a strong man. You understand? So Samson is representing Jesus Christ. Few things about Samson. Samson was a Nazarite. Where's Jesus from? From Nazareth, okay? Samson, his name means is Shemesh, or you can get all of the words for eight. Smyrna, Shemshon, the anointing oil is eight. All of this is eight. Samson is representing the number eight. And Samson is also representing one of the mothers in the Bible that needed God to miraculous power so that they could have a child. Mm-hmm. So Samson's mother had been barren until the angel said, you're going to have a child, and they had Samson. Yeah. So Samson was announced. His mother gave birth to him. He was a Nazarite. All of those things are the same as Jesus Christ. The other thing is what we're about to read now. Let's go. We're in Judges chapter 15, verse 1. And it says, later on, at the time, here it goes again, later on, but it came to pass within a while after, in the times, but it says, see, it says the same thing, in the yom, okay, in the days, it's the same. So this is why someone asked me about English Bible, which English Bible I read, whichever one of them says it right, because English, okay, so in Judges chapter 15, verse 1, it says, but it came to pass within a while after, in the days of the wheat harvest. You hear that? The days of the wheat harvest. There's more than one. And it says that Samson visited his wife with a kid. Now he's taking a sacrifice and he's going there during the wheat harvest because in this wheat harvest, he wants to now be with his wife that he chose. Okay? And she's a Gentile. Do you understand that? And she's a Gentile. So this is what happens. He says, but it came to pass while after in the days of the wheat harvest that Samson visited his wife with a kid, that meaning a goat. And he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not allow him to go in. And so let's read this, okay? It says, he said, I am going into my wife's room, but her father would not let him go in. I was so sure you thoroughly hated her, he said, that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. So now, listen, he has two daughters, okay? He has two daughters, and Samson has already agreed to marry this one. He brings the offering, and he says, now I want to go in to my wife. And he says, no, because I thought you didn't want her, so I gave her to your companion. Who's the companion? I gave her to your friend. That never tells you who the friend was. Do you understand that? Now, I'm going to speak this so you try to understand and follow this. When Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, Boaz could not marry Ruth himself without addressing someone else who was more qualified to marry her than himself. That means the person he went to, a closer kinsman redeemer who had more power to say, I will marry her. Only if he said no, could Boaz marry her.
Right.
So the friend of the higher kinsman redeemer reneged and gave the bride to his friend Boaz, who then married her. You understand? So God is kind of doing the same thing with this story. He's showing you that Samson was supposed to marry her. He didn't, but he ends up marrying the younger because he gives this one to his companion or to his friend. You understand? So it's still the wedding of two daughters. The same as Leah and Rachel, the same here going on here. Now, the same is also with Boaz. So, after this, let's continue reading here. It says, I was sure. And as Samson said to him, this time I have the right to get even with the Philistines, and I will really harm them. So he went out and caught 300. I don't want to read all that. But we're talking about Samson. Now, one of the things about Samson at the end of this is that Samson was preparing a meal for the wedding. So Samson was busy. He was preparing a meal for the wedding, for this wedding he was going to have. And it just shows, once again, Jesus is preparing a meal for the bride. God goes through all the traditions with each of the people in the Bible to show you what Jesus is going to do later. So let's continue on. But I wanted you to see that in Samson. Now, this is the other thing I wanted you to also see. It said, when Samson went to go get this bride and brought the kid with him, it was the wheat time. It was the wheat harvest. He wanted to complete his marriage when? During the wheat harvest of what? The first bride. Okay? So remember, Boaz also married his wife when? Right after the wheat harvest, okay? So all of these things are happening, and this first marriage, if the father would have allowed him, would have happened at the wheat harvest. He would have married the first bride, but the father wouldn't allow it, so then he had to take the younger daughter instead, okay? So we're looking at the same thing. But I want you to know that marriage was going to happen in the wheat harvest. The mandrakes happened in the wheat harvest, the first fruit of the wheat harvest. So let's keep going. Let's go to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 23. And it says here, so Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So that means that Ruth got married after the wheat harvest. You understand? Mm-hmm. So she got married after the wheat. This is what I'm trying to say. You're in the middle of the wheat harvest. The bride of Christ is on the earth. Every scripture that talks about a marriage happening is during the wheat harvest. So you have to understand what's about to occur here. Mm-hmm. It's not new. It's something that God has in the scriptures all through the scriptures, and you have to see that this is a wheat harvest event. Okay? So the wedding of Boaz. Now, we know the story of Boaz and Ruth, right?
Yeah.
Ruth is what? Gentile. Did you know the woman that Samson was going to marry was also a Gentile? Okay, she was a Gentile. And so you have to understand that all of these typologies are saying, and then Leah represents the church because she has seven children. So all of them are saying the exact same story. And now I'm looking at scripture today, and all of them are saying each one happened during the wheat harvest. Okay? So here we go. And they rejoice. I'm going to just read this one. In 1 Samuel 6, verse 13, it says, "And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping the wheat harvest in the valley, and they looked up their eyes. They saw the ark and rejoiced to see it." So the ark of the Lord had returned and was being returned to them during the wheat harvest. And the ark of the Lord is because he says, go in the strength of the ark in the book of Psalms, go in your rest in the strength of the ark. Speaking to the Son of God, okay? So understand this, that the ark of the Lord had been stolen by the Philistines, and they received nothing but bad stuff happening to them ever since as soon as they stole it. So, you know, they start getting sick, boils start breaking out on their skin, everything, and then it's like, oh my God, we got to get rid of this thing, right? So the Israelites were waiting for the Ark of the Covenant to be returned to them. And so they said they went out during the wheat harvest and they saw the Ark of the Covenant. They looked up and they saw the Ark of the Covenant being returned to them. So understand, here's another wheat harvest and the strength of the Ark is being returned. Okay, this is my favorite one. And I want to really explain this. It's not wheat today. Okay. In the book of 1 Samuel, okay, chapter 12, verse 17, okay? I want you to understand this as we read it, okay? Here it goes. It says, "It is not the wheat harvest today." Is it not the wheat harvest today? It says, "I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking God for what? A king." So when the Jews asked God for a king, it was during the wheat harvest. When the tribulation happens, what do they ask for? A king, a Messiah, right? Yeah. And the world gives them a Messiah. Psalms 122 says they shoaled it. The same name is Saul, right? Mm-hmm. They demanded a king. In 2022, it says they will demand a king. And this is what they did at this time. They demanded a king. And the king that they demanded was a Messiah. Okay? What they're going to demand is a Messiah. They're going to demand peace, the Messiah, and the temple. And the world is going to give them what they asked for. But I want you to know that crime that is about to happen in the tribulation happened also during the time of Saul. They demanded a king. But in what season did they demand a king? Let me read it to you again. Is it not the wheat harvest today? "And I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking, and it says to Sheol, in demanding a king. So the whole scenario is about to play out again, because Israel wants the Messiah and they're going to demand a Messiah. They already have a Messiah, but they're demanding what they want, and God's going to give it to them. But here, even when it happened, God said, when it happened, it will be in the wheat harvest. So the typology coming true, because I want you to know you're in the wheat harvest. Some people have no clue how close we are. No clue how close we are. We're in the second half of the wheat harvest, and some people have no clue how close the world is to completely changing and not being the same forever, which is a good thing.
Amen.
But the first 7 years is a bad thing.
Yeah.
But the return of Christ back, when he comes back, is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because there'll be no more homelessness. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more of this foolishness that is going on. Okay.
Amen.
In, I'm going to skip over, let's see, ashamed of the husband and the wheat and the heart. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. Matthew chapter 13. Now, I just read to you one wheat harvest season when Reuben found mandrakes. Second, a wheat harvest season, letting you know that the wheat harvest is not just one day, but days.
Right.
The observance of the days of the wheat harvest. Judges, three, Samson wanted to get married to the first bride who was a Gentile at the wheat harvest, but had to wait for the younger bride at a later time. That happened during the wheat harvest. Ruth got married at the end of the wheat harvest. In the book of Samuel, in Beth-Shemesh, the Ark of the Covenant returned to them during the wheat harvest.
Yeah.
Okay? In 1 Samuel 12, verse 17, the children of Israel, Samuel is saying that God is going to punish them because they are demanding a king. They're demanding a Messiah that, and God is saying they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me because they don't want me to rule on them. And that's what Jesus is saying. Israel is rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting Christianity, or they're not rejecting people. They're rejecting Jesus. Okay, that's why they want a Messiah. You understand? So since they don't want Jesus, they're demanding it. But when they demanded it, which is when we'll be leaving, was during the wheat harvest. Sometimes things just blow my mind.
15 minutes.
Okay, now if you're in Matthew and you're in chapter 13, let's see where I want to begin here. And we're going to go to verse 30. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. We're going to start at verse 24. Here we go. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. You know what? It's incredible that he never says he sowed good seeds, which would be proper English, right?
Right.
Even in the original language, it says you sowed a good seed. You sowed good seed, okay? But it always is singular, because the only seed that produces resurrected people is Jesus, is one seed, okay? So he says here, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. T.D. Jakes, no, I'm just playing. But the weeds are going to appear and pretend like they are also wheat. Okay? They'll have great church services. They'll do all kinds of things, and it will appear to be that they are part of the wheat harvest, but God says, no, they're weeds or they're tares. They're pretenders. And it says, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, did you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And an enemy has done this, he replied. The servant asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. God is looking out for us.
Yes.
Let both of them grow together until the harvest. What harvest?
The wheat harvest.
Let both of them grow together until the wheat harvest. So let the church members continue growing.
Mm-hmm.
Do not try to judge now because some of the people in the church don't look like Christians or aren't acting like Christians. Let them all grow up together because God is going to send harvesters to take care of the matter.
Yeah.
Here it is. It says, let both of them grow up together. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in a bundle to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. You got that?
Yeah.
So this is the structure of how they did it, okay?
Yeah.
Please don't sit and go, well, they gathered the tares first, so if we're getting gathered, we must be the... No, this is the structure of how they did it. You know what's going to happen to wicked people.
Yeah.
They're being gathered to be destroyed. You know what happens to good harvest is being gathered to be taken into the barn. So then you get to the scripture that says, this event is going to happen. Two will be in one place. One will be taken and the other one left. This event is about to happen.
Yes.
Two will be in one place. One will be taken and the other one will be left.
Yes.
Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken.
Yes.
The word perambano, which means as a friend or a companion of God. Left. Divorced, sent away from God. Okay, so the words I think the word in Greek is aphemi. So the what's happening is God is divorcing the people that don't belong to Him, or the people that said they belong to Him, but don't, or the people that were living lukewarm but weren't living a Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
But He says He took with Him into His barn His wheat, okay?
Amen.
So understand, two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Now, the person that said that has prophesied thousands of events in the world, and all of them have happened. Okay? So you can say, each and every person out there, you can say to yourself, that sounds crazy, Pastor. Two people standing together at the store. You're telling me one of them's going to be taken up into heaven and the other one's going to be left with their bags still standing in line?
Yeah.
I'm telling you it's going to happen.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm not a betting man because I don't gamble. But if I were, I'd bet everything that this day is going to happen.
Yes.
Praise God. I would bet you know why? Because the person who promised it has never been wrong. And it says all of his promises are yes and amen. And the rapture is a yes and amen, an event that will happen in the world. They should have this on TV for all people every day, telling them. All churches should be talking about this one event.
Yeah.
They should not be wasting people's time talking about building a new sanctuary and all of that. They should be saying, I don't care what you're ready for. You need to be ready for this day, because the King of Kings, the God who is impossible for him to lie, said this is about to happen. Okay? So rather you believe it or not, when God says something, it happens.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So I'm taking you back. Reuben found mandrakes when? During the wheat harvest. Exodus says that the wheat harvest is the days of the wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say a day.
Right.
So we can't say on Pentecost. It's during the days of the wheat harvest. Okay. Then Judges says Samson was going to get married during the days of the wheat harvest. It was during the days of the wheat harvest. It wasn't Pentecost. It was during the days of the wheat harvest. Pentecost is a first fruit day. The wheat harvest continues after. During the days of the wheat harvest, he said, hey, I think I'm ready to get married to my bride. Let me go and take an offering. It's the wheat harvest. He's a Nazarite, and he found a Gentile bride. No, you can't marry today. You have to marry the younger one later. We're going to give this one to your best friend. Because, see, I see Jesus and God as the same. But see, God married Israel a long time ago, right? He's seen as the higher kinsman.
Yeah.
So Boaz went to the higher kinsman and says, I want to marry this Gentile, but you have first rights. He said, no, it would ruin my heritage with the nation of Israel. So you go ahead and marry.
Yeah.
So the same thing is happening with Samson. He's just telling you, but it happened when? During the wheat harvest.
Wow.
Okay?
Amen.
Samuel says, hey, matter of fact, when they asked for a dirty, rotten new Messiah named Ish-boeth, you know, from the book of Samuel, they asked for Ish-boeth. They said, when they asked for Saul, they asked for Saul. It says, is this not the wheat harvest today? Doesn't the wheat harvest start today? And here you are asking for what? A king? May God judge you, he said on this day, before your wickedness, for asking for a Messiah when you already have a Messiah. That happened when? During the wheat harvest. So it's all happening. And then, of course, John comes and says, I baptize you with water, but one's coming greater than me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mm-hmm. And then John says, his winnowing fork is with him. He will gather his wheat. Who's he talking about? Jesus. He will gather his wheat into the barn. So the wheat harvest has a strong implication throughout Scripture. We're living in the wheat harvest only about a 7-year period from the end of the last prophecy generation of the last generation prophecy, right? I'm not hoping, I'm expecting. And I'm praying, and I'm just praying for each and everybody that you will stand strong and be expecting Jesus to come. We have a hope. But I'm hoping with expectation. So praise God, and we'll see you tomorrow at Hebrew class.
Amen. Pastor Stanley, are we having regular service on Sunday?
What Sunday? Yeah. Yeah, we're having a regular church service on Sunday. You'll fire up. We'll barbecue. Yeah, we got a barbecue in the back, and then we'll bring barbecue to church, and we'll bring fireworks after. We're not going to call off church for 4th of July.
Amen.
They wouldn't call off 4th of July for church.
Well,
amen.
Amen.
All right.
Right.
Praise God.
What time tomorrow, Pastor Stanley?
Tomorrow at 11 o'clock in class, I will be here on time.
Amen.
A lot of Hebrew tomorrow.
Amen. That was the wrap. Well, we got two more to go.